Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning, and congratulations if you remembered to change your clocks, and congratulations if you didn't but got here. It's more difficult down the road at Limekilns. Anyway.
Your clock down there has not been changed.
Oh, that means I'm preaching for an hour and 10 minutes, I think. Rosemary, would you like to do some of the intimations?
Well, good morning again, and welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor, and visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book in the vestibule. Next Sunday's Palm Sunday, and we will also have Catch, Children at Church, with us in worship next Sunday. But to note that there will be no Zoom on Palm Sunday, 2nd of April. With apologies, we are unable to provide a Zoom presentation next Sunday. The recording of the service will be available on the website at some point, but might also be delayed. This is all due to holidays. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. The church will be open this Wednesday afternoon, the 29th of March, in the final week of the Warm Spaces programme. Please come along for a cuppa, a blether and games. Holy Week and Easter. There will be short evening gatherings in church during Holy Week on Monday to Thursday, 3rd to 6th of April, starting at 8 p.m. These will continue our Lent study theme of justice. On Good Friday, the 7th of April, there will be an informal communion service, also at 8 p.m. On Easter morning, Sunday, 9th of April, we will have an outdoor dawn service in the church garden at 7:30, with breakfast rolls to be available afterwards, and they're always really good. Our Easter Sunday service will be at the usual time of 11:30 and will include communion. And can everybody please note that we'll require flowers before the service, main service on Easter Day, for decorating the cross. Coffee morning helpers. We'd love to restart our programme of coffee mornings from April onwards, but this is subject to enough volunteers coming forward to help. Please add your name to the list in the vestibule if you're able to assist. Ladies' Conference, Mirror Mirror on the Wall. Flyers are available today for this event, which is to take place on Saturday, the 15th of April, in Limekilns Church. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. These can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And finally, here is a quick look at the order of service for this morning. Thank you.
If you want to know more about the Ladies' Conference, the person who's organising it is a Mrs. Grant down in Limekilns, who I meet occasionally. So if you want any more information, ask Karen and she'll let you know. And for the flowers, I think the instruction is that if you can cut them with a 2 to 3 inch stem, that really helps. And you know, we put them in the cross and then the cross goes up outside so that people passing can see it. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing the first of our hymns, number 129, The Lord is King, Lift Up Your Voice. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts of your people. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use. We offer this prayer in the name of our Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name, Amen. Alistair is leading us in our prayers this morning.
Let us draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up our voices in praise to you. We rejoice that you are King. You reign supreme over all the nations of this earth. You, Lord, are omnipotent, creator of this vast universe who sustains us day by day. We marvel at your majesty and glory, your greatness and infinite knowledge of everything, even an intimate knowledge of each one of us. Yet, because of our belief and faith in Jesus as our Saviour, we also become your children. So we call to you, Abba, Father. Lord God, we cannot begin to understand how wonderful you are. You alone are worthy to be worshipped, honoured, adored. A great and loving God who sent us your Son, Jesus Christ. You came to show us your love and help us to see how you want us to share that love with all around us. You came not only to show us a way of life, he is the way, the only way to you, the way to one another, and the way of life, the way, the truth, and the life. As a giver of all life, you also offer through Jesus life in all its fullness, life in the Spirit, life eternal. How can we praise you enough? Heavenly Father, we also come before you in Jesus' name, confessing that in our actions and reactions we have failed you. In our loving and forgiving, we have fallen short of your mark. In our believing and trusting, we have denied your grace and power. In silence, we lay before you the specific sins which are clouding our relationship with you just now. We believe that if we confess our sins to you, you will forgive us and cleanse us. Thank you for that. And so may we live as those who know we are forgiven because of what Jesus has done in our lives. We will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But we will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should we gain from all of this? We cannot give an answer. But this we know with all our hearts, his wounds have paid our ransom. Lord God, help us to give our minds to you in our worship, so that we may listen to what you have to say to us and know your will. Help us to give our hearts to you in our worship, so that we may really want to do what you require from us. Help us to give our strength to you in our worship, so that through us your will may be done. So, Father, hear us now as we join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 202, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. This year, in fact, this month, is the 50th anniversary of the release of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. It was released in the UK on the 16th of March, 1973. I bought the record because I was and am a Pink Floyd fan. No one knew that this record would become one of the best-selling albums of all time. And in fact, it is still being sold 50 years on in significant numbers. When I was thinking about that 50th anniversary, I realised that this is also the 50th anniversary of me sitting my first proper set of exams. Around now, 50 years ago, my year group were dealing with the results of our O-grade prelims and preparing for O-grade exams. I remember getting an important piece of advice. It's relatively simple advice, and it might seem obvious. I suspect that you may also remember receiving this advice when you were at school. It's quite simple. Our teacher said, "Answer the question." This was qualified by telling us what not to do. We are not to go into the exam and decide that we will alter the question to fit the answer that we have memorised to go into the exam. You don't get marks, they said, for going, if you'd asked this question, here's the answer. There was a perfect example of how not to do things on Thursday evening. On television, a member of the Question Time audience pointed out that a politician on the panel had completely failed to answer a simple question. In fact, they'd taken quite a long time to not answer the question. Fiona Bruce challenged him. And he proceeded not to answer the question again at some length. The gist of his answer was, here's the important question you should have asked, and here's the answer. And so Fiona said, did you get an answer? And the The questioner just said, no. Another audience member said that if politicians had no answer for the questions the people have, then perhaps they should just shut up. Which was the cue for quite a bit of applause. In our Lent study booklet, the subject for this Sunday is the foolishness of the cross. The suggested Bible reading comes from 1 Corinthians, one of my favourite Bible passages. There is here a genuine question from us, from people. It's a question about salvation and our human need to be made right. The problem here is not that God's answer is the wrong answer. Rather, it is the answer we don't want to hear. There is a genuine question about salvation. It's a human question, but the answer is God's answer. From the very beginning, the cross has offended, or is absolute foolishness to many. The cross is demanding. Jesus is uncompromising. Many people believe in a much gentler answer where God takes into account that actually we're quite good and deserving people. Our problem is that at the heart of the gospel is the cross. And it really is a stumbling block. And as such, it is foolishness from a human perspective. We're going to hear that reading from 1 Corinthians and another reading about fault and forgiveness from Matthew's gospel. Rosemary is going to read for us.
Our first reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Our second reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 22, fault and forgiveness. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Hymn 397, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. As many of you may know, I struggle to understand poetry. People have tried to help me. I can sense their wonder and pleasure in reading poetry, but I simply don't get it myself. It feels to me a bit like my absolute failure to learn to swim. I had 8 years of lessons between the ages of 8 and 16. I did everything my teachers asked. I even went with friends when they were going swimming to see if that would work. I still cannot swim. Going back to poetry, there are some poems I enjoy and understand, but I have a suspicion that I turn this into prose in my head. One poem that is a favourite is one of Burns' poems, Holy Willie's Prayer. Burns clearly describes the fault of the self-righteous. The poem itself is aimed at a particular individual who was self-righteous. But it's become a description of all who think themselves better than others, when clearly that is not the case. I have a suspicion that most of us here know the poem. Holy Willie describes himself as blessed by God. He is one of the righteous. He finds excuse for his own failings, and he takes pride in his humility, which of course is a contradiction in itself. In direct contrast, he calls down God's wrath upon those he sees at fault. They are deserving condemnation, as opposed to his deserving of forgiveness and acceptance. This caricature is strikingly accurate when describing those who know themselves to be right. And of course, a person who is right can never be wrong. We laugh at the poem, and we're meant to. But it's a lot less funny when someone in power has this mindset. If we think of what we hear from President Putin of Russia, his absolute self-belief. When things do not work out as he intends, someone else is to blame. The idea that the West created the war in Ukraine seems madness. It's nonsense. But what is really worrying is not that Putin comes across as someone who is lying. What is even more worrying is he seems to believe what he says. Because since he is right, anything he says is right. The true madness of where Russia is at the moment was clearly illustrated in a news item, which sometimes we just need the little personal thing to make us go, really? A Russian child's school drawing is taken to be an attack upon the state. But in our own nation, I'm sure most of us are heartily sick of hearing about the ongoing story of social gatherings in Downing Street during lockdown. And if you were listening to Boris Johnson's defence of his actions, it seemed to be along the lines of, well, I did wrong, but I didn't know it was wrong, so it wasn't really wrong. How often have we despaired at the leaders of our nation, those who are meant to be setting a good example for us, excusing themselves because, well, they didn't really know it was wrong, or that wonderful defence of something that is clearly morally wrong to any right-minded person, well, it didn't break the law. We despair at it. The standard in our society, and too often the example of those who are in authority, is never admit wrong, but be very quick to point out when someone else is wrong. It has absolutely the feel of Burns' poem. In that reading from Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus is instructing his disciples what to do when someone does wrong, when someone sins, it is very much from the position of being a fellow sinner. You go to the person and say quietly. There's no room for self-righteousness and saying, "You sinners, you." And quite clearly, Peter has understood what Jesus has said. I'm not sure he was listening to the rest because his mind seems to be fixed on what Jesus first said. Because he then has a question. Okay, supposing the person does properly confess and repent, how often do I forgive them? And I've always had that feeling when I read this passage of something between the lines of Peter going, If I say seven times, Jesus is going to go, no, 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 Peter, you know, maybe three times and then just let them have it. But Jesus' answer about forgiveness is that forgiveness is not limited. Now, whether the number is 77 or 70 times 7 is quite immaterial. What Jesus is giving is an impossible number. Because you wouldn't count to 77 times. By the time you've forgiven somebody 40 or 50 times, you've lost count. What Jesus is saying is forgiveness is an absolute. And the reason for that is because of God's absolute forgiveness. In God's grace, forgiveness is infinite and eternal, because whatever God does is to do with his nature. God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. And if we think about it, in prayer, in church, we always seem to give folk a wee while just to confess their sin. Alistair did it this morning. And how many times have you confessed the same sin? I've done it again. How many times has God forgiven you? How many times will God forgive you? When the disciples wanted Jesus to show them the Father, Jesus' answer was, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is what God is like. If we want to know the limits of God's grace and mercy, we have Jesus. The measure of God's love is the cross. We say that sin and death were taken to the cross. We say that the cross is God's victory over evil. We have the cross as the proof of our forgiveness. There are times when we have a problem that is the opposite of self-righteousness. If I were to ask you, in all honesty, just sit quietly and think, who is the most annoying and least forgivable person you know? And I think if you sit and think it through, if you're anything like me, it's the person you see in the mirror. Our answer is often self. The truth is, whatever we think of ourselves, in Christ we are forgiven. We are given a righteousness. I am a righteous man, not because I say so, not even because of how I behave or speak or whatever, not even because of what I think of myself. It's because it is given to me through Christ. We have a problem with that because often our pride gets in the way. We want to think that we are right with God because somehow we've earned it. Somehow we are the nice people. God takes sin seriously. Absolutely seriously. The wages of sin are death. But God has also dealt with sin because it is so serious. And that is the cross. The cross is a stumbling block to some and foolishness to others. Right from the very first days of proclaiming Jesus crucified, that was the point where people said, we like the teaching, but this crucified business, no, no. And the problem for many is that the cross is demanding. What do you give to the one who gave everything for you? And that's the issue. Such is God's grace that no one is beyond redemption. Such is God's grace that he says, you choose. You don't have to accept this. You don't need to be forgiven. But in choosing, we choose the foolishness of God. and we discover that it is wiser than human wisdom. We choose the weakness of God because it's stronger than human strength. Through God's wisdom, Jesus, crucified and risen, we have righteousness, holiness, and redemption, to use the words of Paul. And that's what we take out of here with us. And actually, if people look at us as fools, just smile, because what they're seeing is the foolishness of God, which is wiser than human wisdom. And if they look at us and think, ah, you Christians, you're just weak, we're showing the weakness of God, which is stronger than human strength. So remember, as you walk out that door, through the foolishness of the cross, we are righteous, holy, and redeemed. Amen. And now, our prayers for other people.
Let us pray once more. Father, you have been so good to us in our ingratitude, thoughtlessness, and forgetfulness of you, for your pity, long-suffering, gentleness, and tenderness. We bow our heads in humble thankfulness of heart. Thank you for your infinite love, infinite compassion, infinite power. There are so many issues facing our world, we so often don't know where to start. Yet thankfully and helpfully you place issues on our hearts. We continue to pray about the situation in Ukraine, that this invasion would be halted and Russian forces withdrawn. That may seem a fantasy, yet nothing is impossible with you. One day Vladimir Putin's reign of terror will end, and he will answer for his crimes, whether in this life or the next. And while we pray for all the people of Ukraine, we think particularly of those who have been targeted by Russian forces simply because they are Christians. So we pray for your protection for Christians in Ukraine, that you will give them emotional, physical, and spiritual strength to be agents of your love and compassion. We pray for the safety of frontline Christian workers who travel to the war zones. We give you praise for the amazing witness of Christians who sacrificially serve their nation and the gospel, often risking their lives. And we pray too for the families of those who have already paid the highest price with their lives. Please shelter, encourage, comfort, and sustain them. We remember our own country and the election of leaders not only of the SNP but First Minister. May the candidates have trust in the election process, that whoever is elected will have achieved it through a transparent system without any concerns of manipulation. An emotive issue which will come before the Scottish Parliament this year is end-of-life matters and assisted suicide. Please grant wisdom to our politicians who will be debating this in due course. God of mercy, please comfort those who are undergoing suffering because of serious illness and frailty. Grant compassion and strength to those who care for them. Thank you for the hospice movement. Lord, we ask you to please provide necessary finances, staff and volunteers to the hundreds of UK hospices that offer individual holistic care for people approaching the end of life, all within a peaceful, compassionate atmosphere. And we pray that NHS Fife will make the right decision and not close the hospice ward at Queen Margaret Hospital. And so now, in the silence of this moment, we bring before you the issues which are on each of our own hearts, of those people in situations needing your care at this time. So, Father, we ask you to hear all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
We sing hymn number 559, There Is a Redeemer. Go now to love and to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.